Hello everyone, my name is Don Bain and I am the Gadget Professor. And of course everybody is wondering where Todd is, so Todd Cochran had asked me to fill in for him tonight. And I am honored to fill those shoes, and we'll have a medium length show tonight because I was just notified at the last minute and I'm jumping in. So I have a lot of tech news for you today, some interesting articles that I've dug up that I found personally interesting, and I have one or two tips for you tonight that you might enjoy. And also I am testing out for the very first time a brand new microphone, and we'll get to cover that a little bit more towards the end of the show. So thanks for tuning in, and let's get right into it. So today I have learned that we have a computer now that can take the place of a human. It's a very fascinating contest that was held, and basically a computer program just did what no artificial intelligence has done before. Now, computer artificial intelligence is not new. It's been around for many, many years, believe it or not. And I remember working with a couple companies in the Cambridge, Massachusetts area back in the late 70s, early 80s on artificial intelligence. And it has a lot of different meanings, but this is pretty cool. We might be a ways off from welcoming our new robot overlords, but one thing's becoming clear. A future filled with artificial intelligence looks more possible with each passing day. So what happened is, on Saturday, the line between a human and a machine was blurred a little bit more when a computer program became the first in history to successfully convince a panel of judges that it was a human being. This is true. More specifically, a non-native English-speaking 13-year-old Ukrainian boy named Eugene Guzman. Eugene and four other computerized contenders were participating in Saturday's Turing Test 2014 competition at the Royal Society in London, which held its 60th anniversary of Turing's death. And this is from Policy Mike. I'll have this in the show notes for you. And basically, they had some guests, judges, if you will, not guests, that were actually trying to figure out who was real in a chat room and who was a computer. And this computer actually fooled better than one third, actually 30% of the judges actually thought that Eugene Guzman was a real 13-year-old boy. And basically, it was trained to chat and hold a conversation on the level of a 13-year-old, and to fake it enough so that they really couldn't tell the difference when they asked questions and conducted a conversation. So it's a very cool read, a lot of fun, and I think it's just a sampling of what we're headed into very soon. I think in the next 2 or 3 years, as most of us know, there's computer programs right now that Windows comes with one already embedded in it that will let you translate words to speech. There are a lot of programs out there that do a great job with translating just a Word document or a PDF, and will actually read it back to you in a number of languages. And actually, the Gadget Professor show in about 2 weeks will cover these types of softwares in depth. So it's pretty cool stuff. So let's move on. We have our friends at Facebook. Today they accidentally launch a program and then pull it down on the same day? I just don't get it. So the headline here is, this is from The Verge, Facebook accidentally launches, then pulls Snapchat competitor Slingshot. Kind of embarrassing, but I just can't believe that someone would say, go ahead, put it on, and then say, oops, I made a mistake, let's take it off. So after recently killing off of Poke, its first Snapchat competitor, Facebook is back with a second shot at messaging. The new app is called Slingshot. It lets you quickly send photos and videos to friends inside a minimal messaging interface like Snapshot. You can also caption and draw on the photos, as well as do video messages. And of course, the photos and videos will disappear, or so they say, once you viewed them. The app went live in the App Store today in a few countries, but was then promptly pulled back from the store by Facebook. So I won't take your time and read the whole article. It is in the show notes. And again, I just can't believe that they would put it up and take it down. Maybe they wanted to do an hour-long test and to see, you know, how it worked, or a beta. But there's other ways to do that. But it makes a It makes you shake your head and go, you know, who's asleep at the switch? Especially, you know, with Facebook, you would expect a more professional rollout. So we will have to keep our eyes tuned and our ears tuned to see if Slingshot really progresses and actually gets out there. Now, this is a very cool idea, and I got this in my email today. This is a website that turns music royalties into investments. And this may be the wave of the future. And essentially what they're doing is they're selling, if you're a songwriter or produce songs in a band and it's your original copyrighted music, you own the rights. Essentially what you can do now is offer the music royalty. You can offer a piece of that and sell that to potential investors. So if you have a tune that you feel is really hot, whether it's country, western, or rock, or blues, whatever the genre may be, and you are having a hard time selling it, peddling it to whoever, you can put it up on the net, put it up on this site, and if you like the song, you have to be a registered investor. This is serious stuff. So if you're a registered investor or you know someone that is a registered investor, on your behalf, you can buy shares of that royalty right. And if that song hits it big or someone wants to use it for a party or for a theme song or maybe even for a commercial, you can actually buy a piece of the action. So I'll just read you a little bit because it's fascinating and it's never been done before. And, you know, anybody who's into music knows what Michael Jackson and the Beatles sell their royalties for. And if you have that lucky tune that goes viral and hits that responsive chord in your brain, you can make some serious cash. On the other hand, you can lose some serious cash. So if you're a Three Doors Down fan and an accredited investor, again, you've got to be an accredited investor. I kind of laugh when I read that. You might be intrigued by the new investment vehicle that lets you own royalties from the band's popular songs. Just last week, the band's producer put up for auction his royalty rights to 11 tracks, starting at, ready for this, $5,400 a share. For $5,400 a share, you can own a portion of that portfolio and receive royalty revenue monthly for the next 35 years. I'm going to have to think of some songs. I mean, they don't say how many shares there are. I guess you can sell as many shares as you want, but it's kind of interesting way of doing things, and I think it opens up a lot of different avenues that would otherwise be unopened to bands and songwriters, and I think it's kind of a neat idea. I can only imagine the contract that one would have to sign for that, but it's a fascinating startup business, if you will, and I'll be interested to see if it catches on. It's quite unique and makes a good read, so I'll put this up. It was in USA Today, and someone had sent me the article, and I thought it was pretty cool, and I would imagine there would be a lot of other things where you have copyrighted material and you need money or whatever, and you can allow people to invest in it. So I think this is just the beginning of the way investments will go, and also it might be another way for music writers and producers and bands, so on and so forth, to get into the mainstream and let the internet test the wares and let the people be the judge of what songs are cool and what songs are not. You know, it's a lot different than in the old days, in the 50s and 60s, when you used to pay a radio station to get so many hours of play. And of course, there were Senate hearings on payola and bribery going on, which I think still goes on today. But there's a whole just paradigm shift in the way we listen to music and the way we consume music and video, for that matter. And, why couldn't this work for video? Why couldn't a bunch of college graduates who just got out of school get together, form a video company, if you will, and produce a movie and, you know, put it up in certain places on the internet where it's previewed, and if you want to buy shares to help produce it, and if it hits big, bingo, there you go. If it doesn't hit big, then bingo, there you go again. So interesting, I think, way of doing business, and we'll have to keep our eye on that. Now, here's an app that I came across that I actually tested out this week, and actually I fooled around with it on Saturday, and it was actually pretty cool. This is a multi-camera shooting app, and it's for the iPhone, or I'm sorry, the iPad, and it basically give your talents as a director free reign. Use your iPad or iPhone, if you want to do that, as a production switcher and additional iPhones and iPads as video cameras to be able to shoot as if you were in an actual television studio. You're able to view all the cameras simultaneously, combine the images together from several cameras, create transitions from one camera to the other, and do it all live on the fly, and you can save your work to full HD and share it with your friends. That's a lot, so you can have three or four of your friends with iPhones or iPads, and you can bring them all into one central location, if you will, as this neat little graphic shows, and you're basically a television producer. And it has a Wi-Fi connection. Each iPhone, iPad, or iPad Touch running Ricoh Live Multicam can be used as either a camera or the switcher. That's pretty cool. The device is being used as the switcher right now in the picture, and it shows the list of all the other iPhones, iPods, and iPad Touches that are in use on that Wi-Fi network. It's essentially very easy to select the ones that you want to use as cameras. You can see them in the selected camera images and then mix them together just by touching them. So you're able to display, if you have three or four or five different devices out there, iPads, whatever it may be, you're able to display all those on the main switcher unit, whichever unit you designate, and I would do that on the iPad because you have more real estate, but you're able to see all the cameras. So with the switcher, you can display each camera's image live. It's easy to select one and view it on a preview panel, which is really cool. And this is only available on the iPad, obviously, because you have the real estate. And then you simply click on it, and it goes live. Live includes its video stream in your recording and a red light on the camera screen to indicate what camera is live. There are some, there are quite a few switchers out there. TriCaster comes to mind, LiveStream, Paladin, that employ other people's software. But there's a ton of switchers out there that cost thousands of dollars to do what you're doing here. You also have the ability to do a transition from the selected cameras. There's several transition modes, and what I mean by a transition is a crossfade, a wipe, a cube, like a little special effect transition from one camera to the next camera. And you also have effects. You can select two or more cameras and combine their images into one view. You have several graphics effects that are available on the dashboard. You have a flap, you have a picture-in-picture, and there's several more. This is remote controlled. From the switcher, you can remotely control the camera's zoom, focus, exposure, white balance, stabilization, and torch. Plug in your iPhone on the Galileo robotic platform and swipe your finger on the switcher screen to orient the camera in any direction. So it actually is able to move and go up and down and give you some robotics. This is an amazing piece of software. You're also able, what do you hear the price of this? You're also able to do a recording in full HD. Each camera can record video in the highest quality available. On the iPhone 4S, 5, and 5C, and 5S, for instance, video is recorded in full HD. When filming has wrapped on each camera's recording output, it's sent automatically to the switcher, which uses its input to create the final product. The resulting videos are of true exceptional high quality. You can easily share them, obviously, at that point in time. You can put them up on iTunes or wherever you want them to go. Additional features: you can select the camera used as an audio source for the whole film. You can include PowerPoint, Keynote, or anything displayed on the screen of your Mac. This requires Ricoh Live Capture, our live screen capture app for the Mac. Autofocus can automatically disable while the camera is live. This prevents the autofocus from blurring and zooming in and zooming out as you do that. And that's basically it. So let's see how much it is. It was like $1.99, something like that. Let's see here. I'm sorry, I was off. It's $4.99. $4.99, $5. Like I said, there are a ton of $1,000 systems that you would buy to get this functionality. I did work with it for about 25 minutes. It worked pretty good. I mean, for $5, wow. I don't know how they do it. But it's very cool. There's a great video here. I'll put this in the show notes for everybody to see. And definitely check this out if you want to make some videos, you know, for the high school kids, or you want to do something for the family. For $5, it ain't going to get much better than this. And it's feature-packed. I don't know how they do it. All right. That was a lot of fun. I like that app. $5. Yikes. So Skype, we're all familiar with Skype, but Skype for the iPhone is going to get a ground-up redesign. Top designer talks to future iPad and iOS 8 updates. And here's an article. It's 9to5Mac.com. I'll put this in the show notes for you. And this is going to be a whole redo, if you will. A few years ago, Skype was the rock star of the messaging world. But now with smartphones and mobile messaging apps like WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, and iMessage, Skype's iPhone feature, set and application have begun to get a little stagnant. And I agree, they are beginning to stagnate. There's no question in my mind about that. However, Skype's development team has recently launched a completely revamped Skype application for the iPhone and the iPod Touch. And this article goes on to describe some of the new features that it will have. And there wasn't anything that I saw that was earth-shattering. It will look graphically better. And let's give it a chance and see how it will work. I got to tell you, I have an Android phone. I have a Galaxy S3. I've had it for not quite 2 years. Prior to that, I've always owned Android products for my phones for probably the last 5-6 years. I did have the first iPhone that came out, and I still actually have that. In fact, it's right here, and I still use it now and then. It's kind of an antique, but still works. No phone, but I use it in the for Wi-Fi. Anyway, I got to tell you, my contract with Verizon is going to be up in a month or two, and I think yours truly is going to actually switch back to the iPhone, and I'm going to tell you why. At the end of 2 years, or not even quite 2 years, every single Android that I have ever owned, and I take really good care of the phones, they get a little crazy. And right now my S3 is very sluggish. It's very slow. I've rebooted it. I've reloaded the software into it. I've tried everything, but it's just real slow. And sometimes when I hit dial, it doesn't dial out. And it's getting to be a pain. And as I thought back, the same thing has happened to every single Android phone that I've owned. Now what it's doing, and it's driving me out of my mind, is since they had the automatic update that came down to update the operating system on this phone, the light, the flash for the camera, intermittently flashes. I don't know why, and no one else seems to know why. I can't figure it out. I've called Verizon. They said they have not heard of the problem, but I've talked to other people, and it's not uncommon. But long story short, you'll have your phone in your pocket, and you'll be walking around. All of a sudden, your pocket starts emitting this giant flash of light, and you're like, people are looking at you like, what's going on? The other thing that it does is, right before the phone rings, it flashes. So it's really screwed up, and I don't know why. So I am going to switch over to the iPhone, and actually the main reason I'm going to switch to the iPhone is because my wife and my two kids, they all have iPhones, and I got to tell you, I love FaceTime. I love it, I love it, I love it. So the Gadget Professor is going to be switching over to the iPhone, and hopefully in the next month or two, they'll have the new iPhone out. I will test it out before I buy it, but unless you can give me a reason why not, why I shouldn't do it, then that's the way I'm probably going to go. Now, for you people who love Skype, I'm going to let you in on a little secret, okay? I have been using Skype since the day it's come out, and I still use it. However, I have found through testing that this company called Ovoo, O-O-V-O-O, this is actually Israeli software, and it's free, and this is really cool stuff. I have no affiliation with this company whatsoever, other than I've used their software from the day it's come out. And what you can do is you can, for free, you can video chat with up to 12 people at one time for free. 12 people with video at one time. You could send cool video messages. You can record and update to YouTube and you can do instant messaging, and there's a ton of other features that you can do. And let's just click on them here. And this is totally free. You get the highest quality video chat for free. No one is better at video chat than Uvu. It's why over 75 million people use us. Here's why. Cloud call processing. With Uvu cloud-based servers, you can make the highest quality of video calls from any device. And I have absolutely verified that because I conduct calls almost on a daily basis with 4, 5, 6, 7 people. And the video quality and the audio quality, in my opinion, has been better than Skype, hands down. The video technology automatically detects and adjusts for connection speed, which means there's less drop calls. And if you have used Skype, I guarantee you have dropped calls. I very rarely drop calls with Uvu. You can do group video chat. Get the whole crew together on Uvu, up to 12 friends at once, with free multi-screen and high-definition video calls. That's pretty cool. It's free. Free voice calls. Make crystal clear free voice calls to other Uvu users at low-cost call rates. Obviously, they got to make money somehow. You can do instant messaging, video call recording, video message. You can send files. You can find friends. You can invite friends. You can watch a YouTube together. You can do screen sharing. They also have, obviously, a premium plan, and you can go in here and check out your pricing. It's not bad. It's your yearly plan is $30 and you get 2 months for free. Your monthly plan is $299. It's very, very, very affordable. I would highly recommend that you just download the free version. And what happens with the free version is you get some commercials run. It's not that big of a deal. But definitely check out Uvu. I think you will enjoy it. I know you will. Now, here's another app that I have used recently. I put this on my wife's phone, and it's really a great idea. It's called Add Emergency Contact Info to Your iPhone Lock Screen. This is presented by CNET, and I'll put the article in the show notes. But the reason we password protect our phones, it's simple. If it gets stolen, the thief can access all your data. So obviously you put a password on there. But there's a flip side. If your phone is lost or you've been injured and someone is trying to call you or your family, there's no way to access you're in case of emergency information. So this is an app that will essentially lock your phone, but the screen that it locks it to is your emergency contact information or whatever you want to have for your contact information, your name, your phone number, your email address, whatever it is that you want, your picture, your dog's picture, I don't know. But this is a very cool app, and read up on it. I think you'll find that it's something that you'll want to put onto your phone, and I think it's a good idea. And this is the one that I thought was $1.99. I got it reversed with the other app. So for $2, it could save your life someday. And I would urge you to just at least read it over and see if it's something that you're interested in. Now we're going to go to one of my favorite companies, which is Amazon. Jeez, I think like I should own stock in Amazon because. You get lazy, and I think what happens is, you know, you go to Best Buy, you go everywhere else, and then you end up buying it on Amazon, which doesn't help anybody except Amazon, but I think we all kind of do it. The reason we do it is because the delivery service is extraordinary. I live in Arizona, in the Scottsdale area, and I kid you not, if I order something by noon on a Monday, it's here on Tuesday. I'm a Prime member, and they say 2 days. But there have been many days when I order by noon, next day it's here. I don't know how they do it. They do a better job than the post office has ever done or will ever do. And I think someday they might even take the post office over. I'm not kidding you. They're testing those drones now. It's a really cool company for sure. And they have a massive warehouse right here in the Phoenix area, which is probably why they can give me such fast service. The other thing that I like about Amazon is if there's ever a problem with anything, there's just no questions asked. You pack it up, you send it back, they pay for the shipping back. So I found them to be quite reliable. And I don't know, for me, I buy a lot of stuff through my business and things. And the Prime membership has paid off for me. And I'm glad that I did that. Even with the increase, for me, I still think it's worth it. Anyway, with plenty of third-party selling sellers populating online stores, Amazon is well accustomed to playing the middleman for processing transactions. Now the e-tailer is taking the middleman role one step further. It will now manage monthly subscription payments for companies such as wireless providers Ting, and it's just the latest move in Amazon's ongoing effort to overtake PayPal. They are at war. And PayPal is, I think, based right here, headquartered right here in Scottsdale, actually. So Amazon users will be able to use their stored credit card information to make monthly payments at participating sites. For anyone who has used PayPal, the process will be very familiar to you. You'll see a payment button that will pull in your billing info from Amazon to process the transaction. Beyond Ting, it is clear which companies will take advantage of this. It's not clear which companies will take advantage of the service, but they expect to see digital music services and wireless providers. And obviously, Amazon will get a piece of the action for every transaction that they make. It will be paid for by whoever it is you're buying the product from. So somewhere down the line, it's got to increase the cost, but we'll probably never know it. Actually, it talks a little bit about that. But what the third-party people feel is that if you have a John's Bargain Store is the name of your company, and now you're on John's Bargain Store website and you buy something, and then you see that the processing is going through Amazon.com, as a consumer, you're going to feel more comfortable because you're familiar with Amazon, you know the name, you know the company. Henceforth, their sales will increase because you're not worried about John's Bargain Store. You know, and it makes a lot of sense. So they're basically paying for the name of Amazon, their reputation, and they're willing to pay for it. And it makes a lot of sense. So that's something to keep your eye on, because I suspect Amazon is going to be almost everywhere. And again, they do a great job. They're a very tough competitor. Now, if you're not familiar with Ting, I'll just mention it because the article mentioned it. But Ting is a I don't know how to describe them. They're a third-party cell phone company, so they will take your bill. They have a wonderful website. They will take your bill from Verizon or from AT&T or whoever your carrier is, and they have a little map here, and it shows you the rates and how much you'll save by going over with them, and here's their plans. And again, I'll throw this in the show notes so at least you have a point of comparison. Their coverage... Ting Wireless network services are provided on the nationwide Sprint network. So check that out. And, you know, Ting is not a major player in this space, but they profess to save you a lot of money. It says 98% of the people would save money with Ting. That's because we do mobile different. And again, their website's pretty interesting. It's well done. And you can bring your own phone. You can buy from their phones or however you want to work it. They're happy to do that, and they give you a control panel so you can have total control of your phone activity 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Kind of interesting. And now I'm going to talk a little bit. Actually, I've been talking a lot of bit through this microphone. And this is a brand new mic. I have never used it before, and it's put out by a company called CAD. And this particular mic is the Trion 8000 multi-pattern condenser tube microphone. This microphone has a tube in it, and they're fairly popular these days, and I was asked to evaluate this little puppy, and I thought tonight would be a good opportunity. Now, not only does this mic have a tube that makes it different, but different from other microphones, but if some of you people are old enough to remember tube technology, your young folks are saying, why are they going to a tube? Well, the tubes did elicit very high quality, and because it's a vacuum tube, there are actually some purists today who prefer amplifiers, believe it or not, that are all tubes, and they are not cheap. They are tens of thousands of dollars for the audio aficionados, and I happen to know a person that has a room, one room, I kid you not, and it's not a big room. It's probably an 8 by 10 room. If that, let's just say it's 8 by 10 room, and I know for a fact that he has over $600,000 worth of audio gear in that room. And he has a chair in the middle of the room, a recliner, and when he reclines back and he puts on his music, every note is exactly correct, at least in his mind. The gentleman is 71 at this point in time, and I know a little bit about audio. And you know, the human frequency response, your hearing response, is 20 to 20,000 kilohertz. And when you become about 30 years old ish, everybody's different. That 20,000 kilohertz is substantially reduced, and I don't care who you are, and no one can hear. They can claim to hear, but the fact of the matter is, when you're in your 70s, you're not hearing the full audio spectrum. But his $600,000 backs up that he can hear the full frequency spectrum. I have been in his room, and there's no question, it sounds awesome. It sounds awesome. But I gotta tell you, I'll put on my $20 headsets, and I can't hear for crap anyway, and I put it on, it sounds great. So enough about that. Let's talk a little bit about this microphone. One of the disadvantages, if you will, is you just can't plug this into a mixer and use it. This has its own power supply. And wherever you go, you must take a special cord and this special power supply that supplies the proper voltages to the tubes inside this microphone. So I am actually testing this out for the ability for it to reproduce the voice as a broadcast mic. It's also used in singing. It's also an instrumental mic. And it's kind of nice. It's about $400 or $500. I'm not sure. I have this on loan. But what makes it interesting to me is, one, that it's tube, but also there's a switch on the front of this microphone that you can't see, and it gives you the ability to switch between three pickup patterns. And pickup patterns, that's what microphones are all about. There's a cardioid pattern, which is basically what we're seeing here, and this is a heart-shaped, and that's the pattern that I have it in right now. So my switch on this is to cardioid. And what that does is it only allows the sound that's pretty much straight on the mic. If I move over here, or if I move over here, the sound won't be as good. And I'll find that out for sure when I watch the show. The other thing that it has is a switch that will give it the figure eight, and it's exactly what it is. There's your acoustical pickup pattern, and you can see it's a figure eight. Why? Well, you can have two people, one on each side of the microphone, talking to it. And that would be good, so you only need one microphone for two people. And then it has the omnidirectional switch, or control button, if you will. And when you put it in that mode, it has a 360-degree loop pickup. And you would use that if you're playing in a band and you want to get the audience noise and you know, all the sound experience, the 360 sound experience, you would use that. So that's all I know right now. Technically about the mic. Again, I have to run it through some tests, and I'll take a look on an oscilloscope and some of the audio gear that I have to detect the frequency. I listened to it when I did a test this morning with it, and it sounded a little high frequency for me, but we'll run it through its paces, and you can watch the Gadget Professor and find out what the results are. And I would like to have everybody at some point in time check in with the Gadget Professor. We put out a new show every Thursday evening, Arizona time, about between 9 and 10 o'clock Arizona time. And we are on episode 160. We've been doing it a little bit over 3 years. And we just did a great show with Andy Smith on geocaching. So if you don't know what geocaching is, or you're interested in doing geocaching, you can go to thegadgetprofessor.com and check out episode 160, and you'll learn a little bit about geocaching. So each week we bring you a review of a different type of gadget that's hopefully fun and interesting, and will bring some type of entertainment or pleasure to you and your family. And we also talk about free apps. I always have 4 or 5 free apps that are totally free. They can go on your iPhone, your Mac, your PC, your Android phone, whatever the case may be. And we talk a little bit about tech news and how to save money, how to cut that cable bill, places to get free streaming from, and all that kind of stuff. So we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fans, and we certainly enjoy bringing you that information. So that will wrap up tonight's show. Again, I'm Don Bain, the Gadget Professor, filling in for my good friend, Mr. Todd Cochran. And Todd will be back shortly. We'll see everybody Thursday night. Thanks for tuning in.